taking advantage of mistakes by the Bears. Four turnovers, counting for 20 of the 29 points. And that is the story. Tampa Bay Buccaneers go 1-0.
Little Dick Stockton for you there, courtesy of Fox TV. A terrible game yesterday for the Chicago Bears and Chicago Bears fans. Justin Kaufman here at the Download here on 720 WGN. And it's time for Monday Evening Quarterback. It's a segment we do the day after a Bears game to essentially break down what we saw and what we think. 312-981-7200. The Chicago Bears losing, essentially shut out till garbage time. A lot to break down tonight, from the strategy pre-snap to the offensive performance of Mike Glennon to the defensive performance of these Chicago Bears. Veterans on the field giving up penalty after penalty, pass after pass. Beyond Willie Young did that one, the one sack in his great fishing sack dance. Did they even touch him again? I'm not sure they did, if it not till garbage time. Adam Hogue, WGN's great Bears beat reporter, is on the line with us. He joins us here Monday Evening Quarterback for the remainder of the season. Adam, great to talk to you, buddy.
You too, Joss. I'm looking forward to this. I wish it was under better circumstances after yesterday's game in Tampa, which is concerning, because I thought, most weeks, even if the Bears weren't winning games, that they'd be competitive, and just quite frankly, they weren't competitive yesterday.
Let's talk about that. So why don't we start? I think a great place to start is, what was the Bears' strategy? Like you said, they came off of being, first and goal, fourth and goal against the Atlanta Falcons, the defending NFC champs, to being able to steal one in game one, to preparing for a Tampa Bay team that is poised to make a playoff run. What was the strategy for the Chicago Bears before they kicked the ball? Was it about run it down their throat? Was it about Mike Glennon checking down? What was it that the Bears were trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of what they were trying to do in week one against Atlanta, which is play good defense, limit the points that Jameis Winston is able to put up, and then, just hold on to the football. First and foremost, don't turn it over, but sustain long drives, prevent the game from getting out of hand. And, going back and watching the game today, there are reasons to believe that would have worked, and then there's reasons to believe it wouldn't have. The reasons it would have worked is, you saw in that first drive that Mike Glennon had, he was executing just fine. It's the short, quick passes. The running game wasn't working perfectly, but they were, able to move the ball on the ground enough. They were moving the ball downfield, and then Mike Glennon just made a terrible decision to throw the ball on a quick hit that was supposed to be open via the play design. Mm-hmm. But just because the play's designed that way on a quick hitter doesn't mean it's going to be there. You have to make that read. You can't just predetermine before the snap where you're going to throw the football. If you do that in the NFL, you're going to lose games, which is what happened.
Adam, that was one of the problems as a fan who's paid attention to the positives of what Mike Glennon brings to the Bears. The thought was that he was a more cerebral quarterback. He could read defenses. He may not be a mobile quarterback. He may not beat you, but when a play breaks down. But his strength is to be able to read the field and make the right call. But what we saw yesterday was not that. It was the exact opposite.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've been saying over the last few weeks. If there's going to be a moment in the season where Mitch Trubisky takes over, it's going to be because certainly his own advancement as a quarterback behind the scenes here as the Bears develop him, but also because Mike Glennon starts turning the ball over. Because I think it's pretty clear that the Bears are trying to give Glennon every opportunity to remain the starter through 2017. That was the plan coming into the year. But if he's going to turn the ball over like Jay Cutler used to, mm-hmm. he's just not going to last. And that was one of the biggest things that it was like deja vu, sitting in the exact same spot in the same press box going back to last November with a quarterback that committed three turnovers, including a pick six and a fumble. It was the exact same game that Jay Cutler had last year in Tampa, which, by the way, was his second to last game with the Bears. He got hurt the following week in New York, and they ended up releasing him in the offseason, which tells you that performance in Tampa carried a lot of weight in their evaluation of Cutler and the decision to move on. So you have to imagine, as Ryan Pace was sitting there in the press box yesterday watching Glennon, who, by the way, is making more money than Jay Cutler would have been this year, he had to be thinking, how much longer can we ride with Mike Glennon with such a talented quarterback on the bench?
You know, you do. I mean, that's a great benchmark to look at how a team, I mean, you're on the road again. They lost. They got blown out in Tampa in the middle of the season after the bye week last year. And then they're back in Tampa this year, and you feel after an off season and changes and tweaks and a new quarterback and better players in certain positions and upgraded secondary that we would see at least a better performance. But you're right. I mean, it was almost identical. Terrible, sloppy play on both sides of the ball, special teams too, and frankly, a blowout against a team that just looks so much better than the Bears.
Yeah, and but getting back to what you brought up originally, I mean, could the Bears have stayed in that game? Yes, without the turnovers, because if Glennon continues that first drive and they score a touchdown, they're up 7-3, and then Cohen perhaps doesn't commit that horrendous decision to go after a punt that's just bouncing around on the ground with three Buccaneers standing right by the ball. Well, then it's a completely different first quarter. It's a completely different game, but it just spiraled out of hand because of the turnovers. And I understand some of the excuses that John Fox has been putting out there the last couple days, pointing out that Josh Bellamy's route on the pick six wasn't perfect. It doesn't matter. If the throw had been better, then it would have just been an incomplete pass. The ball would have sailed into the sideline. But the reality is the corner still made a great play, and the throw wasn't good, and it was a bad decision, and it went the other way for 6 points. Mm-hmm. It's not all on the wide receiver. And then today, Fox kept bringing up the drops, and yes, there were six of them in this game, but five of them, Justin, I went back and watched, five of them happened after it was already 26-0. And so that's why the Bears were losing.
And one thing that wasn't mentioned by the coach, it wasn't mentioned by the media as well, Mike Glennon towards the end of that game seemed to check down to places where it was crowded, meaning a lot of the receivers and tight ends were catching balls and getting hit.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of, like, it was Mike Glennon almost in a way of like, here's my white flag, I'm just going to throw it because I don't want to be on the, I don't want to get hit, or I'm not going to try something else. But I wonder how much that plays in when it's garbage time and Tanner Gentry is about to catch a ball and he knows he's just going to get destroyed by a safety across the middle, that kind of thing happens.
Absolutely. And it sounds picky, but in the NFL, this is why it's so important for quarterbacks to be accurate, to put ball placement. It's not just about completing a pass. It's about ball placement. And the great quarterbacks put the ball.
Jameis Winston.
put the ball in places where, it leads the receiver to. That could be a huge difference between a 3-yard completion and a 17-yard completion. Yeah. Just leading your receiver so they can catch the ball in stride. But also protecting your receiver from big hits. And if you go back, and again, this is sort of nitpicking, but this is what the coaches do. And they look at the film on Monday morning, and they look and they go, okay, that ball was slightly to the left, or it was slightly to the right, or it was a little bit high, and Deontay Thompson had to go up and get it, and then he got hammered by the safety that was crashing in on him because he was in midair instead of catching a ball in stride and being able to run. Yeah. And that was where, as I looked at Mike Glennon's, look, you just look at his stat line, 31 for 45 and 301 yards, you could say that's not that bad. You know, that's really not that bad. 31 completions is a ton. It's a decent completion percentage, but a lot of those completions still were not great throws by the quarterback.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult to watch as a fan as well, because we're falling into that. I guess you can put some responsibility on the offensive coordinator, but also the quarterback. The third and long throw it short play that the Chicago Bears have mm-hmm. Made a part of their classic repertoire for decades now is something that, you know, we were hoping we wouldn't see. But the idea of the third and 11 throw it 4 yards to a covered tight end, it's very uninspiring. And when you watch Jameis Winston be able to stretch the field and put 20, 25 yards in the air before it gets to a receiver who can catch the ball and Mike Evans, you recognize how far this offense has to go.
You know, I think that it's hard for me to put any blame on Dow Loggins these last 2 weeks, maybe you put him on the spot a little bit for not having Tariq Cohen in late in last week's game on three of those last four plays. That I will say is a valid gripe and something that I brought up multiple times last week. But given what he's operating with here, you can't really open up the offense with Mike Glennon, especially when Tariq Cohen, who's 5'6", is basically your entire offense. And that's what I was thinking about during the first half yesterday. Is like, this is, it's Cohen, and that's it. There are no other playmakers on offense unless you're going to put Trubisky in the game. And we can get into that as a reason why maybe they should make this move. But the point being, this is a team right now with you just kind of touched on this. It's boring. And it's not just the style of offense that they're kind of being forced to play here, which is a lot of short passes and just grinding it out. It's also John Fox punting on fourth and two from field when you're down 23 points.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what do you? It's just, and this is, I'm going to tack this in Wednesday's 10 Bears thing column, 10 Bears things column on WGNRadio.com. It's just it's safe. The identity of this Bears team right now is just playing it as safe as possible. Trying to be just safe, and it's boring.
Adam Hogue, WGN Radio Bears beat reporter. You can find all this stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and then we got to talk about Glennon Trubisky. I know that it becomes a broken record for fans and for media to continue to talk about this and to be stonewalled by the Bears management and the coach. But it is something, you're right. I mean, we're watching an offense that needs a spark, and the spark is the second overall pick in the 2017 draft. Yeah. Adam Hogue, WGN Radio, with us for the hour, 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
Tariq Cohen goes back. And a short kick. And he might have shanked this one, but it takes a Tampa Bay roll and stays in the field of play. And it is picked up by Tariq Cohen, who fumbles it, recovered by the Bucs. And here comes the blitz coming in, and Glennon's going to lose the ball, and the Buccaneers are going to have it. It popped out of Glennon's hand, forcing it was Noah Spence, and the Bucs will get the ball. That was an easy recovery, and it was Lavonte David who said, look what I've got here.
Tough to listen back to those highlights as the Bears get squashed yesterday in Tampa Bay to go 0-2. Not a great start. Adam Hogue on the line for a Monday evening quarterback. 312-981-7200. If you want to talk about the Bears, you can text, you can call. I got a couple in here, Adam. 708 says, that's it. I'm done with the Bears. Doesn't want to watch anymore. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. Boycott. 708 has a good question, and this might be a good start. And I also want to ask about Trubisky. But 708 says, why is everyone injured on this team? And it seems like that was a big part of the Bears' bad luck last year. I mean, we saw that by the end of the season, it was almost like the 1987 Scab season. It's like, yeah. You know, you didn't know any of the players that were on the team, yet it looks like we're heading right to that again, and we're not even to week three.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I wish I had a better answer. It's not like they didn't try in the offseason to fix this issue. They spent a lot of time and a lot of money on it. I mean, there's things from, they put microchips into, they wear these vests. A lot of teams do this now, and it's got a little microchip, and so it's underneath what their pads and their practice jerseys, and they can measure the entire workload that a player goes through in a given day. And it's not just about tracking who's trying hard and who's not. It's really about learning what each player's body can physically handle so that you don't result in pulled hamstrings or calf issues. Really, this is more muscular things. However, it's football, and you're going to have ligaments that tear, and you're going to have bones that break in the case of Kevin White for the third straight year. And that's the kind of stuff that really the only way to avoid it, one of the easiest ways to avoid it is just to be really, really good at football.
Right.
Because the bigger, stronger, faster you are, it gives you a better advantage to avoid awkward and hard hits. However, at some point, I mean, every single player in the NFL is going to face a bad injury. Even, you know, even Tom Brady went through it one year. It happens to everybody, and it's just kind of like knowing not knowing when the inevitable big injury is going to happen. And unfortunately, in the Bears' case, it seems like it's
happening
multiple times per game.
Day, yeah. We'll get to the injury update. We'll do that a little bit later. 219 wants to know, what is Trubisky not doing well enough in practice for the Bears to believe he cannot play?
Yeah, see, I think this is more about Glennon right now than it is Trubisky. Let's not forget, I was thinking about this earlier today, let's not forget that they promoted him to be the backup. And by doing so, they're saying that he's ready to essentially play an entire football game if Mike Glennon gets hurt on the first play.
Right.
Which is possible. And given their injury history, it might even be likely. So they're trusting Trubisky to stand there on the sideline on game day, active, as the only other active quarterback, prepared to go in at any given moment, even if it's the first play or the second play of the game in that case. So that tells me that they think he is ready. So then why is he not playing? Especially when the starter's playing this poorly. That's, I think, the biggest question of the week, right? That we're all trying to figure out. And all I can come back to is Mike Glennon's making $18.5 million guaranteed over to this contract that he signed. And they want to give him an opportunity to keep the job and also perhaps give them some kind of trade bait in the offseason. I just don't know how long the leash can be here when week by week you're losing games. They're 0-2 now. It's already unlikely that you do anything when you're 0-2, especially when you lose in that fashion. But I keep looking at this kid Trubisky and how much I liked him on draft night and how well he's played and really checked every box since then, saying, hey, keep talking about these offensive struggles and how there's no weapons and there's no playmakers, and you have a guy on that sideline that has the capability potentially of lifting up that entire offense and making those players that you have out there better.
Well, I mean, Adam, I'll let Derek ask the question. I think this is the question that everybody in Chicago is asking. Derek?
What is it going to take to get Trubisky in the game? That's all I want to know is, what is it going to take? I mean, you could definitely see the energy from the team when you get the rookie quarterback in there. The whole team is energized. And if you can't see it from a coaching staff, I mean, the fans could see it. And we just want to know, what is it going to take to get him in the game?
Thanks, Derek.
Here's my hunch. My hunch is that while Mike Glennon's going to start Sunday against the Steelers, and John Fox did say that pretty emphatically today with very little wiggle room, so I thought maybe after yesterday that could potentially change by Wednesday when they get out of the practice field, but based off of what Fox doubled down on today, it's probably going to be Glennon starting Sunday against the Steelers. That being said, given the performance Sunday against the Buccaneers, I have to imagine that at least this week, and Fox did admit that they have these conversations, which, I mean, you would hope that they do, but every week they have these conversations about the quarterback position. I have to imagine that they might discuss this week a scenario where they make a change in the middle of the game. Hmm. There was a very small window to do so in Tampa yesterday, and that's when it was 17-0 after the second turnover by Glennon, and the game was still sort of in reach, and maybe even as unlikely as it was, Trubisky maybe could have come in and turned that thing around. But once he threw the pick six, and it was 23-0 because they missed the extra point, at that point it was, all right, this thing's out of reach. You better wait and at least give Trubisky a week to prepare.
Well, Adam, let me ask you this. I mean, what I find interesting is that John Fox is an old school coach. He's talked about this a lot. I was just reading Otis Wilson's book, and he used to say that Buddy Ryan would say, "I don't play rookies because rookies get you beat." We saw it with Tariq Cohen. I mean, that could have been the play that's why the Bears got out of competition in that game yesterday. But the point being, I mean, is this just old school NFL where he knows, John Fox knows, the minute he goes to Trubisky, the minute it's going to be pick sixes and missed routes and bad plays and bad football that they can't overcome?
You're saying if that stuff happens once Trubisky goes in?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, does Fox think that? Meaning the coach is an old school coach who knows that a rookie quarterback is going to have his lumps, and those lumps lose football games.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it's like, but the veteran that you have right now is doing that.
Right.
So what's the difference? I mean, at least go with the guy with the upside. Let's not forget that this is the same head coach that once benched Kyle Orton for Tim Tebow, who literally could not throw a forward pass. But that sparked that team that year. And even though they went 8-8 and barely snuck into the playoffs, they did win a playoff game against the Steelers. So, I mean, as weird as that is to kind of give Tim Tebow credit, that guy did spark a stagnant offense in Denver when John Fox was the head coach.
One thing you taught me, Adam, on draft night, we were talking about Trubisky, was the idea that this guy comes from behind. He's a fighter. He can air the ball out and score points pretty quick. That's what he did in college. So he's a guy that you would want when you're down 17 points. Adam Hoag, my guest, of course, the Bears reporter here for WGN Radio. His awesome podcast he does with Adam Johns as well. You can find it all at WGNradio.com/Bears. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get Rob's news. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Adam. We got to talk about the defensive side of the ball. What a show. Adam Hoag, my guest tonight. Bears Monday evening quarterback. Stay with us.
And Winston completes it to Evans and another first down. They have not touched Jameis Winston.
It's the Monday evening quarterback here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We talk about the Bears' loss last night, 7,200 last night. I think I watched, Adam, you'll like this. I watched probably an hour and a half of every possible post game I possibly could to get ready for this. But the thought on the defensive side of the ball, and I want to talk. We've talked a lot about Trubisky, and there's some calls that want to talk about that as well. But the defense is not supposed to be this sloppy. And what I mean is three third down penalties that gave Tampa first downs. I mean, it was out of character for a Vic Fangio team that seemed to make a lot of mistakes. And it wasn't rookies, it was veterans in crunch time situations.
Yeah, I mean, you take the turnovers out of the game, and this, you know, was a really close football game, and you're tempted to say, oh, well, the defense did its job. This would have worked without the turnovers. It would have been a close game, but go back and watch the film. The penalties were obvious, especially on third down, two by Danny Trevathan, one by Willie Young. These are veterans that cannot be committing holding penalties in these moments. They need to be better than that. But also, Jameis Winston wasn't good yesterday. I went back and watched closely. He missed four shots to the end zone that could have easily been touchdowns. That game could have been even more of a lopsided affair than it already was. Jameis Winston was not at his best. So I find it hard to believe. Well, I just really can't say the defense played all that great yesterday. Certainly not as good as week one, and I think you're right that those types of mistakes, they need to be worked out. And what's worrisome is just as these injuries continue to pile up, if Nick Kwiatkowski is out for the season, which seems likely at this point, now you got Christian Jones in there, or Jonathan Anderson, or John Timu. These are three guys who have been around now for 3 years, and they're backups for a reason. Okay depth, but not guys you want starting the final 14 games of the season.
You know, I will say that the Bears did a good job again up front stopping the run. They did a good job of forcing Jameis Winston to beat them. But once again, I mean, beyond the penalties, the Bears don't seem to have a knack for the football. I know they got a turnover the first one of the year. That was a questionable fumble. You know, it looked like it could have been reviewed, but it was already, 20-something to nothing at that point.
Yeah.
But the point being that there were opportunities for Chicago Bear. Marcus Cooper, I believe, Fuller. They're just not – they don't have that killer instinct that past Bears defenses have where they feel like they can change the game right now with a turnover.
Yeah, Kyle Fuller dropped one in the end zone. It should have been an easy pick. He dropped one. Bryce Callahan had
Callahan, that's who it was, yeah.
Bryce Callahan had one on the sideline that he, if he breaks on it a half a second quicker, it would have been a pick six. As it was, he was able to break it up, but, you know, missed opportunity there. Same thing happened week one with Marcus Cooper. Could have had a pick six himself. And you're right. They're not making plays on the ball still. And you would I can't give him too much credit for finally knocking a ball loose and recovering it for a fumble recovery. One in two games, that's really not that much. I mean, you should be doing that. I'm not going to go out of my way to give him credit for finally forcing a takeaway. These need to start to compile, and it's a fair point to bring up. It's just not happening with this unit.
Yeah, and it does seem to be something that is very for a Bears fan, for someone, it's in our DNA to be football defense mm-hmm. first. It comes part and parcel with that. I mean, we're not going to fall in love with this defense unless they start ball hawking, and they're not. And so it goes to the point you were making earlier about this being a safe team. We're excited when they force a third, a punt. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's enough to spark, to motivate a Bears fan to be interested in a team that finished 3-13 last year and looks to be going in the same direction this year.
Yeah. To be positive, though, for a second, you did bring up the defensive line. I thought Eddie Goldman played much better than he did in week one. I thought Akeem Hicks wasn't as great as he was week one, but he was the best player on the field week one. So still very good. Willie Young did get a sack. Pernell McPhee was able to play more and was effective. He's the one that did force that fumble. Little concerned about Leonard Floyd not doing much the first 2 weeks of the season from a pass rush standpoint. However, he has been pretty decent against the run, and the entire defensive line has been good against mm-hmm. the run. So there is a positive, something positive from the defense up front, but that secondary has still been underwhelming, and the depth at linebacker in the middle, now with Jarrell Freeman and Nick Kwiatkowski going down, is concerning going forward.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about defense, and usually we'd skip special teams, but we saw I don't even know what to make. It's even hard to analyze it. I mean, Tariq Cohen, the rookie. I guess that's why you don't play rookies. I mean, the idea that he's thinking that he's in Division II football and he's going to show everybody how fast he is to pick up a ball that is surrounded by Buccaneers. That was a huge play at a critical time where the Bears had forced a punt and seemed to say, okay, let's settle down and get back into this thing. Tariq Cohen, not a great showing for a kid that Chicago's falling in love with.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it other than it's just a rookie moment, a boneheaded rookie moment. If he had run up there and got it on the second bounce when there was more space around him, he may have actually had a big play, but he hesitated. Then the ball got close to him, and, I mean, he said he was trying to save some yardage, but I don't know that ball was going to bounce more than another 5 yards, and there were three Buccaneers waiting for him to do something stupid, and he did it. So there's just no excuse for that on any level, whether we're talking high school, college, or the pros. You don't touch a ball in that situation unless they touch it first. If they touch it first, then there is a no consequence rule where you can go after it mm-hmm. and not lose possession. But that's not what occurred. You cannot be the first person to dive at it like he was. It was just a stupid play. Now, that being said, Cohen was still the offense yesterday, and I thought other than that one awful play on special teams, he had another good game. His hands.
He catches everything, yeah.
Glue.
Yeah.
I mean, it is night and day from what we're seeing from Jordan Howard, who seemingly can't catch a football. Tariq Cohen catches everything. He led the team with 8 receptions yesterday, and a couple of them, I talked earlier in this hour about Glennon not necessarily putting the ball right in the right spot. Cohen's still pulling it in, despite not having a long wingspan because he's only 5'6". And he is a smaller target. He caught a low pass yesterday. He caught another one that was just rifled in, like right at his head. He somehow stuck right in his hands. So that's encouraging. And I thought he was able, even though 13 yards on 7 carries is not impressive, he did have one 9-yarder that he really did on his own. There wasn't much blocking. Right. And he did have another punt return that was impressive. So Cohen I still like. But, I mean, hopefully we just never see him do anything that stupid again the rest of his Bears career.
Adam Hoge, my guest, of course, every Monday night or night after the Bears game, Monday evening quarterback. 312-981-7200. Got some people on the line, some texts. 773 wants to know, should we be concerned with Jordan Howard? Jordan Howard did not have a great game yesterday. None of the Bears did. I mean, the offensive, the running total is 20 yards. I mean, for a team that we talked about, what's the identity of this squad? It's running once, the old Lovie Smith run once we get to the stadium. They didn't show it yesterday. They could not run the ball for anything.
Yeah, average day. Less than a yard per carry yesterday. But I thought that when I went back and graded him out in the film this morning, he wasn't as bad as you would think. It wasn't great, but a lot of it wasn't – there wasn't great blocking in front of him. But it does bring up the question, what's going on with Jordan Howard? Someone asked me last night, do we even know that Jordan Howard is actually good? And it made me kind of stop and, you know, kind of think, hey, you know, it's kind of a fair question. I mean, he did have – it's 1 year. He had a great rookie season. But, okay, because he's still struggling catching the football out of the backfield, which is something you need to do. And so far through two games, hasn't been running all that well. Now, he does have a shoulder injury, and he left the stadium in a sling yesterday. Now, he did talk to the media today for the first time in a while because he dodged us after both games so far and did not talk last week, even though he's required to. So they threw him out there at the podium today, I think, to avoid him getting fined, which may actually still happen because you are required to talk. And you almost started to wonder there, what's going on with him? I mean, is it just the injury? Is he not happy with how Tariq Cohen's being kind of pushed in with him in the backfield? And the results obviously haven't been that good. And let's not forget, he did drop what would have been the game-winning touchdown last week. So you wonder if that was hanging over his head.
It's so interesting that the running back carousel in Chicago in the last couple of years. All right, let's do this. 312-981-7200. Let's go to the phones. Let's get some people in to talk to Adam Hoge. Jamal, why don't we start with you? What do you got, Jamal?
No, I just want to kind of bring up Ryan Pace here just a bit. And so while I'm very excited about a lot of the draft picks that he's brought in, I think he's brought in some talent in free agency. But here in the third season, I'm just really trying to get a grasp of where we are right now. And so while I do want to see Trubisky, and the main reason I want to see Trubisky is this. If Trubisky isn't any good, we're really in trouble, right? We don't have anybody behind him. But, you know, I'm excited about Ryan Pace, but I think at some point the frugal spending and free agency and the kind of methodical way that he's went about things, I think at some point he has to speed up this thing. And I don't know if it's with money or if it's a new coaching staff, but something needs to be done to kind of speed this thing up a bit, because he's in year three. And going into year four, I mean, they've done a lot of losing. They're 9-25 under Fox, and so something has to change soon.
Thanks, Jamal. What do you think about that? I mean, Ryan Pace on the hook at all for, you know, as these guys get injured and we see lack of depth? I mean, we're early on, so it's hard to say lack of, or the fact that this team is playing safe and there are no playmakers that are taking off. Is Ryan Pace feeling any heat?
Well, the biggest thing I would pin on him right now is the wide receiver situation. And you can say, oh, well, the top two receivers went down. You know, how are you supposed to overcome that? But the reality is things would be a lot different if Kevin White had panned out, and he just hasn't. And I'm not sure it's Ryan Pace's fault. I don't know how you blame a general manager when a rookie breaks three different bones in 3 years. It's pretty much unprecedented and really unfortunate. But it hasn't worked out, and that's a big reason why this wide receiver situation is as dire as it is. And even going into this season, looking at Cam Meredith and Kevin White as your top two receivers, we all questioned that to begin with, and now it's even worse. So I think that that's fair to put on Ryan Pace. We'll see how this Glennon thing continues to unfold, but that's on Ryan Pace too. Yeah.
Let's go to Bob. Bob, welcome to Monday Evening Quarterback. What's your take?
My take is you guys ought to listen to yourselves once in a while. You've been going on and on and on about how terrible Glennon is, and then you come back and start talking about how nobody can catch the ball, they can't play defense, everybody who's a rookie is making rookie mistakes, which is what your boy Trubisky's going to do when you put him in there. You give the guy a break. You've been through a busload of quarterbacks in the last 20 years. Nobody ever sticks with one. And I think you got a team management problem and not a Glennon problem.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for that. What do you think of that? I mean, is Mike Glennon getting too much share of the blame here in Chicago?
No, because the receivers had nothing to do with you know, him trying to drill a pass into Deion Sims, who was in triple coverage with Adam Shaheen wide open in the flat, or throwing a highly dangerous pass to Josh Bellamy that was a pick six, or the fact he can't really move his feet, which is part of the reason why he fumbled the football yesterday. I mean, you still have to look at things individually and understand that every single position, you have to come up with a solution. So, yeah, there's other problems on this team. And, yeah, it's not all Mike Glennon's fault. But looking at the quarterback room specifically, is that one area that where you could improve this team starting next week against the Steelers by playing Mitch Trubisky? It seems like it. So that's why we continue to have that conversation.
Yeah. Let's go to Ted. Ted, welcome to Monday Evening Quarterback. What's your take, Ted?
How you doing, gentlemen? Guy brought up pace. I love pace. I mean, I look at it like this. First of all, Virginia McCaskey is about 137 years old. So you want to talk about old school. But they brought in a 36-year-old kid to run this billion-dollar franchise, and I like what he's doing. No, the receiver position was only so-so going into this year. Well, he was focused, it seems to me, on a bigger picture. I love the fact that our lines are improving. In fact, our offensive line was rated 11th by Pro Football Weekly, and we just have had so many injuries. Yeah, and when Trubisky is ready to come in, for me, about week 6 to 8, that's where I want him in. When he's ready to come in, he should have a pretty solid offensive line. He'll definitely have one next year. He should have a pretty solid run game, especially if we can get Jordan Howard back on track and with, you know, no injuries to that. With healthy people on the O-line, we will have that. Then on top of that, he's got defensive line set. Linebackers are okay, a little injury. Secondary, you know, it hurts. And he's going to improve that next year. But think about it.
Yeah.
He and Fox started with nothing.
There you go. Thanks, Ted. There's a good point there. I mean, the offensive line is a strength, saw a couple of injuries. 6-3-0 piggybacks on that, saying the right tackle is horrible. So I mean, where do you stand on the offensive line play? And as you hear Ted, I mean, is this all part of the process?
Well, and quickly, just to Ted's point on pace, I agree with him. That's why I just kind of singled out the wide receivers as the one area, and Glennon as the points where you can look at this and question pace. Otherwise, I completely agree with everything Ted said. There's a lot of other areas of improvement, and overall, the drafting has been pretty good. And like I pointed out a couple minutes ago, I don't know that you pin Kevin White's injuries on the general manager. As far as the offensive line goes, you know, I didn't think it, a lot of criticism for the O-line in week one against the Falcons. I went back and watched it. I didn't think it was as bad as a lot of people were saying. This week, Bobby Massey did not have a good game. Cody Whitehair was better. He played three different positions and was better. So that was encouraging. I thought Hronus Grasu, when he came in the game because of all these injuries yesterday, actually played pretty well, as did Bradley Soule, who a lot of people probably never heard of and had to come in after Josh Sitton went out. Josh Sitton was bad yesterday. I wonder, though, if he was playing through that rib injury. They didn't announce it until he left the game, but I wonder if that was something he was dealing with throughout the game, because it was very uncharacteristic to see him struggle the way he did. He's usually very solid, and he was good in week one. Charles Leno, it's still just inconsistent to me. Not horrible, not great either at the left tackle position. But to Ted's point, I do think this line is good enough for Trubisky to have success behind. A less mobile quarterback like Glennon, though, you're seeing why he struggles when things aren't perfect in front of him, which, by the way, was the scouting report and something we saw from his 4 years in Tampa, too.
Yeah. All right, last barrage of questioning really has to do with the injury situation before we play Pittsburgh on Sunday. Let's start offensive line. Both Tom Compton and Josh Sitton went down. Where are we at with those guys? And also, what do you think about Kyle Long? I mean, our all-pro offensive lineman who we've been waiting for has yet to suit up for the Bears. Where are we at with him?
Well, I think they're hoping to get Kyle back this week. I think they're hoping to get Marcus Wheaton and Prince Amukamara back too. So those are three starters. That's something that matters going into this game. With Sitton, I don't know. It's a rib injury. They haven't given us much of an update. We'll probably find out Wednesday whether or not he's practicing. Is that a bruised rib or a fractured rib? That's a big difference and could determine a lot with his playing time going forward. Compton, I mean, that's not a big deal if Kyle Long comes back.
Right, right.
But it is nonetheless a hit to your depth going forward. So, and then the Kwiatkowski injury, which we talked about earlier, right. I think is devastating because that was a kid, a young draft pick, who I think they thought could take over as a permanent starter going forward. And then he lasted basically one series and got hurt.
Yeah. And the question is, who calls the defense now? Who gets everybody lined up in the right spot? Does Danny Trevathan do that? I mean, who's the leader? Who's the Mike Singletary of this defense?
Yeah, I actually talked to Danny about that after the game. And he admitted to me it was kind of a challenge because that, you know, Vic Fangio decided to give those responsibilities to Kwiatkowski, even though he's younger, last week in practice. And that shows you, again, how much they trusted him and liked his potential. When Kwiatkowski went down, Danny Trevathan had to take over, and it was fine. There weren't any issues. Danny did admit that it was a little bit of an adjustment for him, and I'm not sure he's completely comfortable in that role.
Well, the only thing you can look at is that the Lions are winning at halftime right now, but the Packers lost and the Vikings lost. The Vikings lost to the Steelers, grand fashion. What do we expect? I mean, the Killer Bees come to town, you know, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Martavius Bryant now, not to mention Antonio Brown. I mean, this team is stacked and one that is expected to challenge the AFC crown. Tough schedule for the Bears to start, but it's a home game, and the Steelers have been known to lay eggs. I'm a Steelers fan in the AFC, and there are plenty of times where you're like, how did they lose that game? So the Steelers are far from being a consistent team.
The Browns played them tough in week one. So, I mean, it was at least a close game. So I think that's what you're hoping for the Bears. Look, they had to play what's looking like the best team in the NFC in week one, and the Falcons coming off a Super Bowl, beating the Packers the way they did last night. I think that's the real Falcons team you saw. And then they might have to play the top team in the AFC in week three. The Patriots obviously hold that crown until they get taken down. But with the injuries the Patriots have, you could actually easily make an argument that the Steelers are the most talented group in the AFC right now. So that's tough in your first 3 weeks of the season. And then you follow that up with the Packers on the road in week four. The schedule makers did not do this team any favors, given the situation they're in. And it's going to be fascinating to watch if they can somehow pull out a win in these next two games. I'm not going to be very optimistic at all about this game against the Steelers on Sunday.
Adam Hoge, the Monday evening quarterback. Of course, Adam covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You can find out all of his great stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears throughout the week. Adam, great Monday evening quarterback. We hope we'll see you next week, and we hope to have a more optimistic, positive conversation. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, all right, thanks. It was a lot of fun. Talk to you next week.